Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Radhara Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. And just as people are settling in, make sure there's a brahmachari zone so they can feel like they have a brahmachari zone. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Vishnupad Paramahamsa Parivrad Gacharya Stotaras Tashi Shimad Bhai Charanada Vinda Bhakti Vedanta Swami Maharaj Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Jayam Vishnupad Paramahamsa Parivrad Gacharya Stotaras Tashi Shimad Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj Ki Jai Anatta Koti Vaishnavinda Ki Jai Nama Charya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Prems Gaho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Garad Harshivasati Gaur Bhakta Vrindiki Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gogopina Shamakund Radhakund Giri Govardhan Ki Shri Vrindavan Tham Ki Shri Mayapur Navadhit Tham Ki Tulsi Devi Bhakti Devi Ki Jamuna Devi Ganga Devi Ki Samabeta Bhakta Vrindiki All glorious to the assembled devotees. All glorious to the assembled devotees. All glorious to the assembled devotees. Gopremanande Aribo. Arjuna Vacha Sanyasam Kamalam Krishna Puno Yogam Chasham Shasi Yatstreya Eteyorekam Tanme Bruhi Sunishitam Sri Bhagavan Uvacha Sanyasa Karma Yogascha Rishyasya Kuravubau Tayostu Karma Sanyasa Karma Yogo Vishishite Gaya Sanitya Sanyasi Yona Dveshti Nakangshati Nirdvanvo Himahabaho Sukham Vandat Pramuchite Sankhya Yoga Pratagbala Pravadanti Napanditaha Ekam Apyastita Samyak Ubayor Vindate Balam Yat Sankhyai Prapyate Stanam Tad Yoga Rapigamyate Ekam Sankhyam Cha Yogam Cha Yapashyati Sapashyati Sanyasastu Mahabaho Dukamaptu Mayogataha Yoga Yukto Manir Brahma Na Charena Digachati Yoga Yukto Vishuddhatma Vijitatma Jitendriyaha Sarva Bhutatma Bhutatma Kurvanapi Nalipyate Naiva Kinchit Karomiti Yukto Manyeta Tattvavit Pashyan Srinvan Svashan Jigran Ashnan Gachan Svapan Svashan Pralapan Vishvijan Grinnan Unmishan Nimishan Api Indriyan Indriyarteshu Vartanta Iti Dharayan Brahmanyadaya Karmani Sangam Chakva Karoti Aha Lipyatena Sapapena Padma Patram Ivambasa Kaina Manasa Budhya Kevaler Indriyarapi Yogina Karma Kurvanti Sangam Chakvatma Shudhaye Yukta Karma Palam Chakva Shantim Apnoti Naishtikim Ayukta Kama Karena Pale Sakto Nibadyate Sarva Karmani Manasa Sanyasyaste Sukambashi Navadvare Pure Dehi Naiva Kurvan Nakarayan Nakartritvam Nakarmani Lokasya Srijati Prabhu Na karma pala samyogam Svabhavas tu pravartate Nadate kashchit papam Na chaiva sukritam vibhu Agyanin navratam jnanam Tena muhyanti jantavaha Jnanena tutadagyanam Yesham nashitam atmanaha Tesham Aditya Vajjnanam Prakashayati Tadvaram Tadbudayas Tadatmanas Tannishtas Tadparayanah Gachantya Punar Avritim Jnana Nirdhuta Kalmasah Vidya Vinaya Sampane Brahmane Gavihastini Shuni chaiva shapake cha pandita samadharshinaha Ihaiva tera chitta sargo Yesham sam yestitam manaha Nirdosham hi samam brahma Tasma brahmani tetistaha Na prakrishyat priyam prapya Nod vijet prapya cha priyam Stira Buddhira Samudho Brahma Vid Brahmani Stitaha Bhayas Varsheswa Saktatma Vindatyatmani Yatsukam Sabrahma Yoga Yukatma sukham akshaya mashnute. Yehi samsparsha cha bhoga tukayo naya evate. Dadyanta vanta kaunteya nate shuramate buddha. Shaknoti haiva yashodhum praksharira vimokshanat. Kama krodhod bhavam begam sayuta sasuki naraha. Yonta sukhontararamas tatantar jyotir eva yaha. Sayogi brahmanirvanam brahma bhuto dikacchati. Labante brahmanirvanam rishayashina kalmishaha. Chinna dvaida yatatmanaha sarva bhuta hiterata. Kama krodha vimuktanam yatinam yata chetasam abhito brahma nirvanam vartate viditatmanam. Sparshan kritva bahirbhayam chakshush chaivantare bruvoho. Pranapanau samau kritva nasabhyantara charinau. Yatendriya mano buddhir munir moksha parayanaha. Vigatecha bhaya krodho yaksada mukta eva saha. Bhoktaram gyagya tapasam sarvaloka maheshwaram. Suridam sarvabhutanam yadva mam shantim vrishyati. Om tat sat iti srimad bhagavad gita supanishatsu brahma vidyayam yoga shastre shri krishna arjuna sambhadye karma sanyas yoga nava panchamo dhyayah. Arjuna said, O Krishna, first of all you asked me to renounce work, and then again you recommend work with devotion. Now will you kindly tell me definitely which of the two is more beneficial? The personality of Godhead replied, the renunciation of work and work and devotion are both good for liberation. But of the two, work and devotional service is better than renunciation of work. One who neither hates nor desires the fruits of his activities is known to be always renounced. Such a person, free from all dualities, easily overcomes material bondage and is completely liberated, O mighty armed Arjuna. Only the ignorant speak of devotional service, karma yoga, as being different from the analytical study of the material world, Sankhya. Those who are actually learned say that he who applies himself well to one of these paths achieves the results of both. One who knows that the position reached by means of analytical study can also be attained by devotional service, and who therefore sees analytical study and devotional service to be on the same level, sees things as they are. Merely renouncing all activities, yet not engaging in the devotional service of the Lord, cannot make one happy. But a thoughtful person engaged in devotional service can achieve the supreme without delay. One who works in devotion, who is a pure soul, and who controls his mind and senses, is dear to everyone, and everyone is dear to him. Though always in such a man is never entangled. A person in the divine consciousness, although engaged in seeing, hearing, touching, smelling, eating, moving about, and breathing, always knows within himself that he actually does nothing at all. Because while speaking, evacuating, receiving, or opening or closing his eyes, he always knows that only the material senses are engaged with their objects and that he is aloof from them. One who performs his duty without attachment, surrendering the results unto the Supreme Lord, is unaffected by sinful action, as a lotus leaf is untouched by water. The yogis, abandoning attachment, act with body, mind, intelligence, and even with the senses, only for the purpose of purification. The steadily devoted soul attains unadulterated peace because he offers the result of all activities to me. Whereas a person who is not in union with the divine, who is greedy for the fruits of his labor, becomes entangled. When the embodied living being controls his nature and mentally renounces all actions, he resides happily in the city of nine gates, the material body, neither working nor causing work to be done. The embodied spirit, master of the city of his body, does not create activities, nor does he induce people to act, nor does he create the fruits of action. All this is enacted by the modes of material nature. Nor does the Supreme Lord assume anyone's sinful or pious activities. Embodied beings, however, are bewildered because of the ignorance which covers their real knowledge. When, however, one is enlightened with the knowledge by which nations is destroyed, then his knowledge reveals everything, as the sun lights up everything in the daytime. When one's intelligence, mind, faith, and refuge are all fixed in the Supreme, then one becomes fully cleansed of misgivings through complete knowledge and thus proceeds straight in the path of liberation. The humble sages, by virtue of true knowledge, see with equal vision a learned and gentle Brahman, a cow, an elephant, a dog, and a dog-eater outcast. Those whose minds are established in sameness and equanimity have already conquered the conditions of birth and death. They are flawless like Brahman, and thus they are already situated in Brahman. A person who neither rejoices upon achieving something pleasant, nor laments upon obtaining something unpleasant, who is self-intelligent, who is unbewildered, and who knows the science of God, is already situated in transcendence. Such a liberated person is not attracted to material sense pleasure, but is always entranced, enjoying the pleasure within. In this way, the self-realized person enjoys unlimited happiness, for he concentrates on the Supreme. An intelligent person does not take part in the sources of misery, which are due to contact with the material senses. O son of Kunti, such pleasures have a beginning and an end, and so the wise man does not delight in them. Before giving up this present body, if one is able to tolerate the urges of the material senses and check the force of desire and anger, he is well situated and is happy in this world. One whose happiness is within, who is active and rejoices within, and whose aim is inward, is actually the perfect mystic. He is liberated in the Supreme, and ultimately he attains the Supreme. Those who are beyond the dualities that arise from doubts, whose minds are engaged within, who are always busy working for the welfare of all living beings, and who are free from all sins, achieve liberation in the Supreme. Those who are free from anger and all material desires, who are self-realized, self-disciplined, and constantly endeavoring for perfection, are assured of liberation in the Supreme in the very near future. Shutting out all external sense objects, keeping the eyes and vision concentrated between the two eyebrows, suspending the inward and outward breath within the nostrils, and thus controlling the mind, senses, and intelligence, the transcendentalist aiming at liberation becomes free from desire, fear, and anger. One who is always in this state is certainly liberated. A person in full consciousness of me, knowing me to be the ultimate beneficiary of all sacrifices and austerities, the Supreme Lord of all planets and demigods, and the benefactor, well-wisher of all living entities, attains peace from the pangs of material existence. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Brinda. Nariya Nagari Thayi Chaitanya Chaitanya. Dariana Gari Nitai Niche Niche Gaire Jagannasuta Mahaprabhu Vishwamba Mayapura Shashi Navadvipa Sudaka Shachi Sutta Gora Hari Nimai Sutta Radha Bhava Kanti Achadita Natava Namananda Chapala Bala Kama Trivakta Ramananda Varna Tarki Katu Karuda Nadiya Nagari Nitai Niche Niche Gaire Nadiya Nagari Nitai Niche Niche Gaire Vijayati Udupa Chaur Dwarer Mohan Kartika Sarvasya Gramya Balika Pridan Lakshmi Prati Bora Datta Udata Balaka Shishachi Upati Putra Shoka Nibaraka Lakshmi Pati Purva Desha Sarva Klesha Hara Dikti Jai Darpa Hari Vishnu Priya Swaha Nadiya Nagari Nitai Niche Niche Gaire Nadiya Nagari Nitai Niche Niche Gaire Arya Dharma Pala Pitra Gaya Pinda Data Uri Shishya Madhacharya Sampradaya Pata Krishna Namo Mata Krishna Tattvadya Pata Nam Sankirtan Yuga Dharma Pravartak Advaita Bandavan Srinivas Grihadana Nityananda Prana Gada Perala Jiva Nadiya Nagare Nitai Niche Niche Gare Nadiya Nagare Nitai Niche Niche Gare Antardeep Shashadar Srimanta Vijay Godruma Vihari Madhya Dvipa Lila Shrai Kola Dvipa Pati Ritu Dvipa Maheshwa Chanu Moja Druma Rudra Tupe Elishwa Navakanda Ranganata Jana Vijivana Jagai Marai Adi Duvrita Chara Nadiya Nagare Nitai Niche Niche Gaire Nadiya Nagare Nitai Niche Niche Gaire Nagara Kirtana Sima Kaji Udarana Shuda Nama Pracharaka Bhaktarti Harana Narayani Kripa Sindhu Jivarani Anta Adama Paduya Dandi Bhakta Doshahanda Shri Krishna Chaitanya Chandra Bharati Tarana Parivraj Shri Ramoni Ukala Pavar Nadiya Nagare Nitai Niche Niche Gaire Nadiya Nagare Nitai Niche Niche Gaire Ambulinga Bhuvanesha Kopatesha Pati Kirchor Gopadashana Supiyati Nirdandi Sanyasi Sarva Goma Kripa Mohan Swananda Aswanandi Sarva Sukashroy Purata Sundara Vasudeva Chanakarta Ramananda Sakabata Kula Kleshaha Nadiya Nagare Nitai Niche Niche Gaire Nadiya Nagare Nitai Niche Niche Gaire Bodha Jain Maya Badi Kutarka Kandana Dakshina Bhavana Bhakti Kanta Udharani Alala Darshanandi Ratta Granartaka Gajapati Trana Deva Nanda Udharaka Priya Prakashe Dushta Padulya Akshad Rupa Sanatana Bhanti Sarajivaka Nadiya Nagare Nitai Niche Niche Gaire Nadiya Nagare Nitai Niche Niche Gaire Vrindavana Nanda Murti Bala Badra Sangi Yavana Udari Bhatta Bala Perarangi Kashi Basi Sanyasi Udari Prema Data Markatai Vairagi Chandra Achandala Chata Bhaktera Gaurava Kari Bhakta Pranadana Haridas Raghunath Swarupa Jivan Nariya Nagari Nitai Niche Niche Gaire Nariya Nagari Nitai Godruma Nariya Nagari Nitai Niche Niche Gaire Nariyana gare nitai niche niche gare Nariyana gare nitai niche niche gare Nariyana gare nitai niche niche gare Nitai Gaura Hari Lord Chaitanya had become the tree of devotional service, and we heard about his main branches and the main parts that made up the main branches. And this is text 33 in the Adi Lila Chaitanya Charitamrita. Evikshara Anga Hoya Shabshe Chaitana Bhariya Vyapila Shabe Shakala Bhuvana. All the parts of this tree are spiritually cognizant, and thus they grow. As they grow, they spread all over the world. Ekala mala kara ami kahan kahan jabo. Ekala va katapal pariya bilabo. I need a phone book to sit on. Okay, good. I am the only gardener. How many places can I go? How many fruits can I pick and distribute? Purport. Here Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu indicates that the distribution of the Hare Krishna Mahamantra should be performed by combined forces. Although he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he laments, how can I act alone? How can I alone pick the fruit and distribute it all over the world? This indicates that all classes of devotees should combine to distribute the Hare Krishna Mahamantra without consideration of the time, place, or situation. Chapters? 9. Adi Lila, Volume 9. I'm just worried about that open space back there. What if someone wanted to sit in there? There's no mat. Put one mat. Okay, good. The more mats you put in, the more people will come in. This indicates that all classes of devotees should combine to distribute Hare Krishna Mahamantra without consideration of the time, place, or situation. Once we were coming back, we used to charter a jet to come to Mayapur. We had our own plane. That's how good we had it in the old days. It was Mahendra. He was our Shivananda Sain. Shivananda Sain in Lord Chaitanya's pastimes used to organize all the devotees, make sure that all the tolls were paid and that everyone had lodging. And Mahendra used to rent a jet. And it would pick up the devotees and Los Angeles, and then fly out to the East Coast and pick up the rest of them. And then we'd stop in Kuwait, which was quite a heavy spot at the time, and we'd refuel there. Didn't know nobody could get off. And then we would fly on to Dum Dum Airport in Calcutta, catch a bus, and drive us straight to Mayapur. I remember on the way back one time, one devotee, Rohini Kumar Prabhu, got the idea that she'd get off and preach in Kuwait. Because he had read this, didn't consider time, place, or circumstance. So he got off in his dhoti in a Muslim country and wanted to preach. There was some pretty heavy repercussions, he described later.
Ekala utana dite hoya parishram. Keha payo, keha na payo, rahi mani brahma.
It would certainly be a very laborious task to pick the fruits and distribute them alone, and still I suspect that some would receive them and others would not. 36.
Ataiva ami ajja dilum shabakar jahan tahan prema palo deho jare tare.
Therefore, I order every man within this universe to accept this Krishna consciousness movement and distribute it everywhere. Purport. In this connection, there is a song sung by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur.
Neche ashauri maya nashi baro lagi harina mahamantra lao tumi magi. Bhaktivinoda Prabhu charani poriya she harina mantra loila magia.
The Sankirtan movement has been introduced by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu just to dispel the illusion of maya, by which everyone in the material world thinks himself to be the product of matter and therefore to have many duties pertaining to the body. Actually, the living entity is not his material body. He is spirit soul. He has a spiritual need to be eternally blissful and full of knowledge. But unfortunately, he identifies himself with the body, sometimes as a human being, sometimes as an animal, sometimes as a tree, sometimes an aquatic, sometimes a demigod, and so on. Thus, with each change of body, he develops a different type of consciousness with different types of activities, and thus becomes increasingly entangled in material existence, transmigrating perpetually from one body to another. Under the spell of maya or illusion, he does not consider the past or future, but is simply satisfied with the short lifespan that he has gotten for the present. To eradicate this illusion, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has brought the Sankirtan movement, and he requests everyone to accept and distribute it. A person who is actually a follower of Sri Bhaktivinoda Thakur must immediately accept the request of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by offering respectful obeisances unto his lotus feet and thus beg from him the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. If one is fortunate enough to beg from the Lord this Hare Krishna Mahamantra, his life is successful. So herein lies the secret to chanting the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, is one has to beg for it. And we have to be ready to become very humble, like a blade of grass. And if you beg, then you often get something, because that's why beggars beg, because they get response from begging. And this is the formula Bhaktivinoda Thakur has given us. Loilo magia. Magia means to beg. Yeah, if you stood out in front of the temple and you just asked everybody, you know, to give you something, eventually someone will give. And if you continually beg Krishna, please, just one drop of inspiration from chanting the holy name, then why wouldn't he give it?
Ekala malakarami kato palo kabo na diavae palo aro ki kariba.
I am the only gardener. If I do not distribute these fruits, what shall I do with them? How many fruits can I alone eat? Purport. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu produced so many fruits of devotional service that they must be distributed all over the world. Otherwise, how can he alone relish and taste each and every fruit? The original reason that Lord Sri Krishna descended as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was to understand Srimati Radharani's love for Krishna and to taste that love. The fruits of the tree of devotional service were innumerable, and therefore he wanted to distribute them unrestrictedly to everyone. Srila Rupa Goswami therefore writes, Anarpita charim chirat karani avatirna kalau samarpayutumunato jvalarasam sabhakti shriyam.
Hari purata sundara duti kadamba sandipitaha. Sadarade kandare spurutuva shachinandanaha.
There were many previous incarnations of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but none were so generous, kind, and magnanimous as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, for he distributed the most confidential aspect of devotional service, namely the conjugal love of Radha and Krishna. Therefore, Sri Rupa Goswami Prabhupada desires that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu live perpetually in the hearts of all the devotees, for thus they can understand and relish the loving affairs of Srimati Radharani and Krishna.
Atma ichamrita briksha shuni nirantar tahate asankhya pala vrikshera upar.
Can you do that on the harmonium? And give a drum to...
Atma ichamrite briksha shuni nirantar tahate asankhya pal vrikshera upa.
By the transcendental desire of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, water has been sprinkled all over the tree. Just go for the verses. And thus, there are innumerable fruits of love of Godhead. By the transcendental desire of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, water has been sprinkled all over the tree, and thus there are innumerable fruits of love of Godhead. Purport. God is unlimited, and his desires are also unlimited. This example of unlimited fruits is factually appropriate, even within the material context. For with the goodwill of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, there can be enough fruits, grains, and other foodstuffs produced so that all the people of the world could not finish them, even if they ate 10 times their capacity. In this material world, there is actually no scarcity of anything but Krishna consciousness. If people become Krishna conscious by the transcendental will of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, there will be enough foodstuffs produced so that people will have no economic problems at all. One can very easily understand this fact. The production of fruits and flowers depends not upon our will, but upon the supreme will of the Personality of Godhead. If he is pleased, he can supply enough fruits, flowers, etc. But if people are atheistic and godless, then nature, by his will, restricts the supply of food. For example, in several provinces in India, especially Maharashtra, Uttar Pradesh, and other adjoining states, there is sometimes a great scarcity of foodstuffs due to lack of rainfall. So-called scientists and economists cannot do anything about this. Therefore, to solve all problems, one must seek the goodwill of the Supreme Personality of Godhead by becoming Krishna conscious and worshiping him regularly in devotional service.
Ataiva shaba pala deha jare tare kahi aha ukloka ajara amare.
Distribute this Krishna consciousness movement all over the world. Let people eat these fruits and ultimately become free from old age and death. Purport. The Krishna consciousness movement introduced by Lord Chaitanya is extremely important, because one who takes to it becomes eternal, being freed from birth, death, old age, and disease. People do not recognize that the real distresses in life are the four principles of birth, death, old age, and disease. They are so foolish that they resign themselves to these four miseries, not knowing the transcendental remedy of the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Simply by chanting the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, one can become free from all misery. But because they are enchanted by the illusory energy, people do not take this movement seriously. Therefore, those who are actually servants of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu must seriously distribute this movement all over the world to render the greater benefit to human society. Of course, animals and other lower species are not capable of understanding this movement. But if even a small number of human beings can take it seriously, then by their chanting loudly, all living entities, including even trees, animals, and other lower species, will be benefited. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu inquired from Haridas Thakur how he was to benefit living entities other than humans, Srila Haridas Thakur replied that the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is so potent that if it is chanted loudly, everyone will benefit, including the lower species of life. Text 40. Jagat Vyapriya mora habi punya kyati suki haiya loka mor gavi peki kirti. Try that again. Jagat vyapriya mora habi punya kyati suki haiya loka mora gavi peki kirti. If the fruits are distributed all over the world, my reputation as a pious man will be known everywhere, and thus all people will glorify my name with great pleasure. Purport. This prediction of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is now actually coming to pass. The Krishna consciousness movement is being distributed all over the world through the chanting of the holy name of the Lord, the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, and people who are leading confused, chaotic lives are now feeling transcendental happiness. They are finding peace in Sankirtan, and therefore they are acknowledging the supreme benefit of this movement. This is the blessing of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. His prediction is now factually being fulfilled, and those who are sober and conscientious are appreciating the value of this great movement. Bharata bhumeti hoila manushya janma ja janma sarthakari kar para upakar. When it was taken his birth as a human being in the land of India, Bhartvarsha should make his life successful and work for the benefit of all other people. Purport. The magnanimity of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is expressed in this very important verse. Although he was born in Bengal and Bengalis therefore have a special duty toward him, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is addressing not only Bengalis but all the inhabitants of India. It is in the land of India that actual human civilization can be developed. Human life is especially meant for God realization, as stated in the Vedanta Sutra, Atato Brahma Jignasa. Anyone who takes birth in the land of India, Bhartvarsha, has the special privilege of being able to take advantage of the instruction and guidance of the Vedic civilization. He automatically receives the basic principles of spiritual life. For 99.9% of the Indian people, even simple village farmers and others who are neither educated nor sophisticated, believe in the transmigration of the soul, believe in past and future lives, believe in God, and naturally want to worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead or His representative. These ideas are the natural inheritance of a person born in India. India has so many holy places of pilgrimage such as Gaya, Benares, Mathura, Prayag, Vrindavan, Haridwar, Rameshwaram, and Jagannath Puri. And still people go there by the hundreds and thousands. Although the present leaders of India are influencing the people not to believe in God, not to believe in a next life, and not to believe in a distinction between pious and impious life, and although they are teaching them how to drink wine, eat meat, and become supposedly civilized, people are nevertheless afraid of the four activities of sinful life, namely illicit sex, meat-eating, intoxication, and gambling. And whenever there is a religious festival, they gather together by the thousands. We have actual experience of this. Whenever the Krishna Consciousness Movement holds a Sankirtan festival in a big city like Calcutta, Bombay, Madras, Ahmedabad, or Hyderabad, thousands of people come to hear. Sometimes we speak in English, but even though most people do not understand English, they nevertheless come to hear us. Even when imitation incarnations of Godhead speak, people gather in the thousands. For everyone who is born in the land of India has a natural spiritual inclination and is taught the basic principles of spiritual life. They merely need to be a little more educated in the Vedic principles. Therefore, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says here, Janma Sartha Kari Kara Parupakar. If an Indian is educated in the Vedic principles, he is able to perform the most beneficial welfare activity for the entire world. At present, for want of Krishna consciousness or God consciousness, the entire world is in darkness, having been covered by the four principles of sinful life: meat-eating, illicit sex, gambling, and intoxication. Therefore, there is a need for vigorous propaganda to educate people to refrain from sinful activities. This will bring peace and prosperity. The rogues, thieves, and debauchees will naturally decrease in number, and all of human society will be God-conscious. The practical effect of our spreading this Krishna consciousness movement all over the world is that now the most degraded debauchees are becoming the most elevated saints. This is only one Indian's humble service to the world. If all Indians had taken to this path, as advised by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, India would have given a unique gift to the world, and thus India would have been glorified. Now, however, India is known as a poverty-stricken country, and whenever anyone from America or another opulent country goes to India, he sees many people lying by the footpaths for whom there are not even provisions for two meals a day. There are also institutions collecting money from all parts of the world in the name of welfare activities for poverty-stricken people, but they are spending it for their own sense gratification. Now, in the order of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Krishna consciousness movement has been started, and people are benefiting from this movement. Therefore, it is now the duty of the leading men of India to consider the importance of this movement and train many Indians to go outside of India to preach this cult. People will accept it. There will be cooperation among the Indian people and among the other people of the world, and the mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will then be fulfilled. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will then be glorified all over the world, and people will naturally be happy, peaceful, and prosperous, not only in this life, but also in the next. For as stated in the Bhagavad Gita, anyone who understands Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, will very easily get salvation or freedom from the repetition of birth and death, and go back home, back to Godhead. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu therefore requests every Indian to become a preacher of his cult to save the world from disastrous confusion. This is not only the duty of Indians, but the duty of everyone. And we are very happy that American and European boys and girls are seriously cooperating with this movement. One should know definitely that the best welfare activity for all human society is to awaken man's God consciousness or Krishna consciousness. Therefore, everyone should help this great movement. This is confirmed in Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, 22nd chapter, verse 35, which is next quoted in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Etavad janma sampalyam dehinam nihadehishu pranar artar diya bacha shreya archaranam sada. Who spoke that verse?
Krishna.
Krishna spoke it to the cowherd boys. It is the duty of every living being to perform welfare activities for the benefit of others with his life, wealth, intelligence, and words. Purport: there are two kinds of general activities, shreyas, or activities which are ultimately beneficial and auspicious, and prayas, or those which are immediately beneficial and auspicious. For example, children are fond of playing. They do not want to go to school to receive an education, and they think that to play all day and night and enjoy with their friends is the aim of life. We have practical experience. Even in the transcendental life of Lord Krishna, we find that when he was a child, he was very fond of playing with his friends of the same age, the cowherd boys. He would not even go home to take his dinner. Mother Yashoda would have to come out to induce him to come home. Thus, it is a child's nature to engage all day and night in playing, not caring even for his health and other important concerns. This is an example of prayas, or immediately beneficial activities. But there are also shreyas, or activities which are unlimitedly, ultimately auspicious. According to Vedic civilization, a human being must be God-conscious. He should understand what God is, what this material world is, who he is, and what the interrelationships are. This is called shreyas, or ultimately auspicious activity. In this verse of the Srimad Bhagavatam, it is said that one should be interested in Shreyas. To achieve the ultimate goal of Shreyas, or good fortune, one should engage everything, including his life, wealth, and words, not only for himself, but for others also. However, unless one is interested in Shreyas in his own life, he cannot preach Shreyas for the benefit of others. This verse cited by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu applies to human beings. I'll just comment on that last paragraph that you can't push something faster than you're not going yourself. And no one has the moral right to teach others unless they're practicing. At least the potency won't be there. And earlier, Srila Prabhupada had mentioned about the regulative principles. And in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Raga dvesha vimuktaistu vishayan indriyaischaran atma vasher vidhyatma prasadam adigacchati. Prasadi sarva dukhanam hanirasya pajayate prasanna chitaso yasu buddhi pariyavachishtate. That there are regulative principles to control the senses, and if one is successful in that, one becomes a happy human and achieves the mercy of the Lord. Shakno tihavyashodhum praksharira vimokshanat kama krodod bhavambegam sayukta sa sukinara. You become a sukinara, or a happy human, by if you can, before leaving this body, control the urges of the senses, especially desire and anger. And then one who receives this mercy of Krishna, prasadi sarva dukhanam hanir, the misery is destroyed. And prasanna chetaso, the consciousness becomes joyful. And buddhi pariyavatishtate, then the intelligence becomes steady. So the four regulative principles that Srila Prabhupada introduced is a bold move. He used to say that a lot more people could join the Krishna consciousness movement if he just would take away the four regulative principles, or at least one or two of them. And he said, however, he didn't want to cheat anybody. Of course, everyone's welcome to chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, and there is definitely benefit from doing so. And it doesn't wait for someone to follow the four regulative principles. One can begin doing it right away. However, those who are serious and want to become determined to actually achieve the ultimate goal of life should practice following the four regulative principles very strictly. Because, as Prabhupada told one devotee, if you follow the four regulative principles and chant 16 rounds daily, you'll become as strong as the Himalaya mountains in devotional service. Just these few things, regulation of daily life, it puts you apart from the pushings and the rest of the world. People have a vested interest because they have to tend to their senses. But when the senses are controlled, one's time and energy and consciousness is freed to concentrate on advancing in devotional service. And there are various stages of devotional service. It begins with faith. Adau Shraddha. Faith means that somehow or other one gets contact with a devotee, even unknowingly, and performs some kind of devotional service. This is called Agyata Sukriti. There are different kinds of Sukriti, which means like pious credits. And Prabhupada explains we have a bank account in our heart. And when we get enough of what's called Bhakti Sukriti, we awaken to this faith in devotional service. Some people naturally become attracted to devotional service. Out of nowhere, they look at it and they say, that looked like a good idea. Or they see a devotee and they think, what was that? I want to be like that. Or I want to talk to that person. Or they get a hold of a book and they're immediately attracted to it. Or they hear the chanting of the holy names and it appeals to them very much. And they can't explain why. There's an internal attraction for that. And this comes, according to Shastra, because of agyata sukriti. Some good fortune is in the heart. And then comes sadhu sangha, which means that one wants to associate with sadhus. Birds of a feather flock together. And we assume the qualities of those we associate with. So when someone has a little faith, the next stage is that a person would want to associate with devotees. And then from that comes a natural progression to bhajana kriya, which means that a person will individually take the process seriously and decide that he or she will make a vow that I'm going to practice this for the rest of my life. This is the goal of life, and therefore the devotee takes initiation and says, I'm going to keep this regulation for the rest of my life because there's nothing higher. There's no better value for me in life than following this process, bhajana kriya. And then comes the process of purification, anartha nivritti, and one begins with anishta bhajana kriya, or an unsteady practice. It means that one's practice is shaky because there are a lot of influences which I'm not even aware of until I make a stand and say, now I'm going to do this. And then I realize that I have a lot more to contend with than I had expected before. And there are various distractions, persistent distractions to devotional service that block my progress and block me from being steady in devotional service. And they're described by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur in the Madhurya Kandambani. First is called laya, or sleep. These are indicators one can look for in one's own practice. If one becomes sleepy while chanting or hearing, this is one of the persistent obstacles. Persistent because it takes a while to overcome these. Sleep becomes attractive as soon as the book opens. Burijan Prabhu told me that he was trying to write when he was in Vrindavan, and people kept coming to see him. So every time someone would come over, he'd pull out a Chaitanya Charitamrita and say, let's read for a while. And they say, I got to go. And the next persistent obstacle is called vishepa, which means distraction. The mind tends to run away quickly to various distractions while one's chanting or hearing the holy name or hearing from the scripture, etc. And then there is apratipati, which means that even if there's no distraction around, and even if one's not sleepy, you just don't care. It means that everything's lined up for you. The hearing, the chanting, it's all ready. You have your beads, you can chant. And you just, meh, I don't want to. Just don't feel like it. This is called indifference. And then there's rasavad, which means that a taste for material enjoyment as a standard of happiness. There's a certain impression we have in our mind from previous experience with sense objects. And because of that, the senses tend to want to go back to it. They repeat on us. I've had some experience, and therefore that memory of that so-called pleasure is stored in my consciousness. And every once in a while, it resurfaces. And then I think that my mind has this urge to go and do it again. This is one of the booby traps. You know what a booby trap is? It's a way in which, it's like during wartime sometimes, people will put little bombs in a place where if you push the wrong button, the bomb blows up. Or if you step in the wrong place, it blows up. So sense gratification is naturally booby trapped so that if you engage in it, then you'll have to go back to it again. In other words, it stays in your consciousness, and then sooner or later you'll have to contend with with that kind of sense gratification again and deal with it. So overcoming these tastes for material enjoyment is another one of the persistent obstacles. And then finally, kashaya, which means that there's an inclination towards worldly activities. Very similar to rasasavad. So these are persistent obstacles, and after one contends with these and goes on with one's process of chanting Hare Krishna and following the process of devotional service, then one can come to the stage of nishta bhajana kriya, which means one's practice becomes steady, and nishta occurs when these five obstacles are no longer in view. They have no more influence over us. And then from there, a taste awakens. We can actually relish chanting Hare Krishna, so much so that the mind runs to that activity and wants to chant constantly. In fact, there's a way in which at any time, if the mind gets distracted, one has the strength easily to bring it back to the chanting of the holy names because the taste is so strong and sweet. And from there comes asakti, which means that one becomes deeply attached to the holy name and to the process of devotional service. And then there's an awakening of bhava, which is the preliminary stage of love of God. And then above that is prema, or the full awakening of love for God within the heart. So all these are available, and one should try for them. It means there's a ladder of devotional service. And one should follow the regulative principles, chant Hare Krishna, and hear and chant with steadiness, with the idea of advancing in devotional service to come to the perfectional stage of life. And by the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Lord Nityananda, anyone in this age of Kali Yuga can attain that coveted position by taking the process seriously. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur sings about the mercy of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. And in this bhajan, Doyal Nitya Chaitanya, he talks about how his mind dances, or he says, "Oh my mind, please dance," when hearing about the mercy of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. And he says that normally when chanting Hare Krishna, there are offenses to be avoided. If we don't avoid the offenses, then it's very slow progress, like pouring water on a fire. We'll try to build it up. But with the chanting of the names of Nitai and Chaitanya, there's no consideration of offenses. That Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda delivered, at least Lord Nityananda asked Lord Chaitanya to deliver Jagai and Madai, even though they were the greatest offenders. So he says, for those who chant the names of Nitai and Chaitanya, there are no consideration of offenses, and one can advance to the perfectional stage very quickly. And he says that one should try for this highest goal of life, which is to develop taste for chanting Hare Krishna. And if one doesn't come to this position, then one has wasted one's life. Doyal Nitai Chaitanya Bole Na Shri Armar Man Na Shri Armar Man Doyal Nitai Chaitanya Bole Na Shri Armar Man Natchari yar marman Natchari yar marman Natchari yar marman Natchari yar marman
Chaitanya Bole Nakshaya Marma. Doya Lita Chaitanya Bole Nakshaya Marma. Nakshayar Marman, Nakshayar Marman, Nakshayar Marman, Nakshayar Marman, hey! Doyali Sai Chaitanya Bodhi, Nakshayar Marman. Nakshayar Marman, Nakshayar Marman, Nakshayar Marman, Nakshayar Marman, hey, Nakshayar Marman, Nakshayar Marman, Nakshayar Marman, Nakshayar Marman, Doya Vita Chaitanya Bole, Nakshayar Marman. Jabe pabe prema dham. Ore apara dure jabe pabe prema dham. Ore apara dure jabe pabe prema dham. Doya Lita Chaitanya Bole Nakshariya Marman. Nakshariya Marman, Nakshariya Marman, Nakshariya Marman, Nakshariya Marman, hey! Chaitanya Bole Nakshariya Marman. Sakun Krishna Name Ruchi Ale Guche Be Banda. Sakun Krishna Name Ruchi Ale Guche Be Banda. Anurakto habe hai, Anurakto habe hai, Krishna name Anurakto habe hai, Krishna name Anurakto habe hai, Doya Lita Chaitanya Bole Nakshariya Marman. Doya Lita Chaitanya Bole Nakshariya Marman. Tato nana yase sapal habe jivera jiva. Tako nana yase sapal habe jivera jiva. Jivanto miche hai. Jivanto miche hai. Krishna rati bina. Jivanto miche hai. Krishna rati bina. Jivanto miche hai. Doyal bita chaitanya bodhi nacharya marma. Doyal Nita Chaitanya Bodhi Nacharya Marma. Nacharya Marma. Nacharya Marma. Nacharya Marma. Nacharya Marma. Radha Shame Pabedasha Deshe Brindabane Radha Shame Pabedasha Gaura Kripa Hale
Go, Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Hari Bol.
Ananda Haribo. Om Kar Das Harmonium.
Haribo.
Let's hear it for the Kartal players. The Hare Krishna chanters. Gopi Manande. Nitai Gaura Haribo. Natriyar marman doyalita chaitanya bole Natriyar marman Natriyar marman Natriyar marman Natriyar marman Let's hear any reflections. Yeah, Ramananda Sakha.
We read in the beginning that while chanting the Hare Krishna mantra loudly, even the trees, animals, and insects, they also get the benefit. And we do see one incident where when Lord Chaitanya passed to the Jarakanda forest, he made the animals chant the Hare Krishna mantra. But apart from that, how do you understand that even the trees and insects and animals can get the benefit?
Once there was a devotee who was in a coma and he wasn't responding to anything, and the devotees went there to see him and they were going to chant for him, and the doctor said, well, it was a woman, and they said, she can't hear you. And the devotees started chanting, and immediately she began moving and revived. And we can see, first of all, through the eyes of Shastra, and also through our direct experience, how the consciousness of living entity responds to spiritual stimulus. And we see this, those who go out to distribute the Hare Krishna mantra get this experience directly themselves all the time. They see how the soul naturally becomes enlivened by that. And by extension, we can understand how the soul is within the body of the lower animals. Through Shastra, we can understand how they get the benefit of that. You have to see through the eyes of Shastra. Yeah.
Near the end, we heard that there are offenses to be considered when chanting Hare Krishna mantra, but when chanting Nitai Chaitanya, there are no offenses to be considered. But yet, when we chant Hare Krishna mantra normally, and there is no prescription to chant Nitai Chaitanya. I mean, we do sing the intention in the songs.
Actually, Prabhupada gives a prescription in his purport in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. It's a purport in which he actually chants the Ma mantra and the Panchatattva mantra about three times each in the same purport. And he says that before chanting Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, one should say Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasati Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Because in the chanting of Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, there are some offenses to be considered. But in the chanting of Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasati Gaur Bhakta Vrinda, there are no offenses to be considered. Therefore, one should chant Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaur Bhaktivedanta. And when one feels unburdened from these and lighthearted and ready to chant, one should say Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. We're taking shelter of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And those who have sincere desire in their heart will reap the benefit of that chanting distributed by Mahaprabhu.
Just a question. So that means normally, at least in my case, I chant 16 rounds, which translates to about 16 times of chanting. Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Shivasati Gaur Bhaktavinda. But if you want to chant even more number of times, is it prescribed or?
No. In fact, Prabhupada didn't chant Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda between rounds either. It's no harm also. Omkar.
Is it okay for me to share this?
Sharing means caring.
So these beautiful deities belong to and are from the from Gurudev's order. And so is this beautiful.
Hare Krishna.
Says you'll have triple the amount you invested in 3 years' time. And then someone said, but there's a footnote that says, read the details.
Gandharvika said that.
And then there were strings attached. And in response, I believe you said something to the extent of Krishna reassures everywhere in Gita that it, very easily you'll come to me, very quickly you'll come to me. Surely you'll achieve this. And that added up to, I mean, I added that. That was added on top of something you said today for me. And you said how you explained the process from Shraddha to Prema. And the thing that stood out to me was that oftentimes the process of devotional service is explained to be very strict. And as a result of that, I feel discouraged. I feel like it's too far away and disconnected. And other times, the process of devotional service seems watered down, and it seems encouraging, but it's not doesn't seem as straightforward or strict as I hear Prabhupada speaking in his lectures. But the way that he presented it today seemed very strict, but very encouraging as well, attainable in some way. And I appreciate that very much because just because something is very difficult doesn't mean it's not achievable. And I think that you emphasized that yesterday in response to that point by quoting how Krishna says. And once you told me that Krishna knows how difficult it is. And you quoted from Mama Maya Dinantiya. So Krishna says, my mind is difficult to overcome. He knows. I mean, there's simple points, but anyways, they stood out to me, and that's my reflection.
Thank you very much. We don't have pens for these boards, do we, somewhere? Maybe tomorrow we'll get them.
No, we have pens.
You have pens? Can we have one? Can we play with them? Okay. Yes.
I would just like to share a story about the natural attraction of the soul towards the sound vibration of the mantra. Once we were in Halifax, in the East Coast, in Nova Scotia, in the East Coast of Canada, and we were in Harinam, Sankirtan, on the corner of the street, And all of a sudden, while we're chanting together, there was a few of us, Jeff was there also. When we're chanting, there was a big crowd that came and stopped at a street light. The light was red. But then, when the green light started, like most of the people started to walk, but this one man who just was stopped, suddenly he was like paralyzed. And he was just like, his eyes were closed, and he was just like, you know, like hearing the mantra and moving his head. And like after a minute or so, like it just opened his eyes, and then he looked around, and you could see that, you know, like everyone was already like moving there. He was alone there. So
this is what I was saying about when you go out to distribute the Hare Krishna mantra, you have your own personal impressions and experiences of these things. That reminded me when you said that in Tokyo a couple of years ago. We were going down the street, and the mode in Tokyo is that people don't watch what you're doing or pay attention. It's not polite, actually, to make eye contact. And you can go down the street in Tokyo and people pretend like you're not there. It's not like they stop and, like in Bengal, you know, they'll raise their hands and haribo, start dancing and everything. But Tokyo, they can pretend like you're not there. Sometimes they look, and that's one of the means of distributing books there. They'll have a harinam and they keep watching the crowd. And if anybody actually looks, it's a tacit agreement that, you know, we can talk to you because they looked at you. So we were going down the street, a very crowded street in Tokyo with a harinam party with only about 6 devotees. But it sounded really nice. And out of the crowd coming towards us, a woman, well-dressed, coming from the office, suddenly became stunned. She just, when she saw the Harinam and heard it, she was visibly stunned by it. And just kind of stood there as if she had been seized by some kind of drug or something like that. She could barely move. It sounded very similar to what you were saying. And then the devotees, several of them sort of, you know, surrounded her and started talking to her, and she took a book and things like that. But it was especially important case because out of the crowd of people who were stone-faced, this one woman suddenly became transformed by it. And we had a Harinam party in Palo Alto many years ago. I remember there was a very young Chinese child who came to the Harinam and wouldn't leave. His mother kept trying to pull him away, and he was dancing for at least 40 minutes or so. And then she finally coaxed him to go away, but the child coaxed mother to come back later here for more. Just a very strong attraction for the holy name. Uttama Shloka.
The lady was so obstinate, she kept pulling, and the dog refused to walk, and so the dog laid on the back. And the lady was like, still pulling the dog. And then I wonder if Prabhu, he was thinking, you know, what's going on? And then he looked at the dog, and then he saw that the dog had a mark on the forehead resembling Tilak.
Wow.
And the dog looked at him with such a pity, and he was, you know, it was actually, you know, on the dog's face, please let me have this prasad.
Wow.
Stretching itself and then with.
Haribo. Navina.
At Kumbh Mela, there was a dog which followed the Padayatra for 35 days, all the way to Kumbh Mela.
Wow.
I was just in Kumbh Mela in Prayag, Allahabad, so there was a dog who followed the Padayatra for 35 days, along, didn't leave. Even though you don't have a devotee dying alive. But he was just tolerating and gentle and just persistently kept sticking to the devotees. So, and he came to us, even at the Kumbh Mela. You know, it's a place on the 10th of February, there was 40 million people there. And we went on Harinam every day with the cart. The dog just, he was not interested in anything else. All the devotees
wow, it's nice. Varsha?
Recently, my friend in Pune underwent a surgery, and he was admitted in the hospital. Before he went for the surgery, he said, I want another Prabhuji with me so that we both can chant before I undergo the surgery. So they were chanting, and the doctor gave him the injections to be unconscious because he had to operate him. And Prabhuji was chanting. While chanting, he went off to sleep. And then when he became conscious, it was amazing that Prabhuji was chanting the Mahamantra from where he had left. He started from there.
He picked up where he left off. Nice. Hale. No, what I said, maybe in a summary form, but what I meant is that once you take a vow, then you start to notice the obstacles. The obstacles are already there. But until you make a stand, you don't realize what you're up against so much.
Well, I'm not initiated, but I realize it.
Yeah, you can realize it. Initiation is a very it's a point of demarcation where you're saying before everyone, this is, I'm going to do this. But you may be serious before that also, and be making your stand, you know, working up to initiation, and you'll realize it also, the obstacles. Yes. Yeah, there's that also. One should have some degree of steadiness before taking initiation, so that would require overcoming some of the initial obstacles. But there are a lot more than one might think. Not to sound discouraging, but it's a lofty goal to become fully Krishna conscious, and the more we advance, the more we can realize that there are subtle obstacles to deal with also. And it's the more you know, the more you know you don't know, and as the more you advance, the more you become more self-critical of the littlest things that may be discordant with pure devotional service. And somebody who's on the path of pure devotional service is always looking, always keeps an eye out for offenses, not in others, but in him or herself, and is always trying to come into complete harmony with the will of Krishna and the spiritual master, so that there's no blemish in one's practice of devotional service, in one's consciousness, because as Raghunath Das Goswami wrote in one of his poems about devotional service, that he's noticing in himself a subtle feeling, or he's writing from the perspective of one who might notice the subtle influence of pride, that I'm advancing in devotional service, therefore I become proud. This can be also a stumbling block. And he compares it, if you'll excuse the term, to the stool of a hog. Hogs eat stool. And then when they pass it back out again, what is that substance like? So he's saying that this pride that I experience within my own consciousness about that I'm an advanced devotee, I have something, this is like the stool of a hog. And he pushes it far away. Dunena hyavaram karma, Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, that keep these desires for fruit of activity for far away from yourself. So, we're eternally students. There's no plateau where one comes to the position of saying, okay, now I've reached the perfection and there's no more. But there's always more. It's eternal expansion of a loving relationship with Krishna, and that is marked by always refining and increasing one's service and one's service attitude.
So how do you know when you're steady enough to take initiation?
Well, when you can follow the four regulative principles and chant 16 rounds. That's a practical demarcation. If you can see for yourself that you can handle 16 rounds every day, that's a very advanced situation, and follow the four regulative principles and you have a feeling of surety that you can do that, that's a very good sign.
Even if you're getting distracted.
Yeah, even if you're getting distracted and so many other things, if you can complete your 16 rounds and follow the four regulative principles, then Harinam initiation, initiation means starting. You're starting off. It doesn't mean you're now perfect. It just means that you've taken a vow, and it's the beginning. Sure. Well, you could say he has everything, but the love of a living entity is voluntary. I mean, Krishna's the supreme controller. He can have anything he wants, but because the soul is an individual unit of consciousness, and Krishna doesn't force the soul to love him, otherwise it wouldn't be love. Therefore, although he's completed himself, he's expanded himself into unlimited living entities for his own enjoyment. Because when there's only one, there's no reciprocation. But when there are many, or when there are two at least, then there can be some love or rasa. And that's why Krishna has created the living entities. And so he's the supreme enjoyer, and he enjoys that reciprocation with his devotees. So it's voluntary from the side of the soul to offer love to Krishna. He doesn't control it or force us. So when we voluntarily offer our love and to Krishna, then that's something that gives him happiness. Bhakti and Linda?
A lot to mention about obstacles, and aren't it some of those obstacles that keep us from being in a shame? And she was talking about noticing obstacles before action issue. And so to me it would seem that so if we recognize those obstacles, but those obstacles can also keep us from becoming initiated. If we're, you know, not attached enough to chanting, if our son is not strong because of distraction, aren't the obstacles going to keep us from being initiated?
Yeah, if they hold you back from coming to the standard, yes. Every step that we take in any progressive endeavor is marked by overcoming some kind of difficulty. That's what's between one step and the next, is overcoming something. Otherwise, it wouldn't be progress and it wouldn't be valuable.
At Kainam Bhajan at Bhaktivinoda Thakur's house, he commented on about it, that the fortunate soul in the womb prays to Krishna to get him out of that horrible situation, and then he doesn't forget him again. And then he even comes to the point where he wants to stay in the womb so that he doesn't risk falling into Maya again. But what happens is that every soul is forced to come out of the womb, and coming out, every soul does forget him. So it seems like isn't it unfair? Because someone might say, well, that's very unfair. The soul prayed to Krishna in the womb and wanted to be Krishna conscious, and then was out of his control. He was forced to go back into Maya like that.
Krishna is the perfect moral agent. In other words, whatever we get and whatever we have is due to our endeavor, the way we've acted. And we are not dead stones. We have responsibility for whatever situation we're in. This is the Vedic version, that we actually are responsible for the situation that we're in. And ignorance means ignorance. It's us that have ignored Krishna. Not that he summarily puts us in ignorance just to torture us for some reason. It's not irrational. It's because we've separated ourselves by choice, because we have minute independence. So whatever situation we're in is something we've created for ourselves. Now, sometimes people ask the question related to this, what good is it if you forget? In other words, if you're praying and then you forget afterwards because of the powerful influence of Maya, what value is that? How does karma work as a reformatory process if you can't remember it? Don't sometimes people ask that question? And there are different kinds of memory. It's not that we just remember a single incident, but there is a collective memory that accumulates within the heart of our stay within the material world. I was talking to a devotee in Philadelphia. His name's Vishnugada Prabhu, who's a psychologist. And we were talking about this subject of memory. And he said there are many different kinds of memory. And some can be emotional kind of memory. Some can be sparked by a situation that you're in and so forth. And even from past lives. Then he described how children are born with certain memories of their past life. Not all of them, but some are born with memories of their past life. And there's an ongoing study that's being conducted at University of Virginia that shows the documents scientifically these cases. The book is very interesting. A Life Before Life. Not Life Comes From Life, but Life Before Life. And it documents, the scientists document the cases of children who remember their previous lives when they're several years old and they start talking about them and such. And we develop over many lifetimes, as I was saying last night, a disgust for the material world or a desire to come out of the material world accumulates within our heart. Of course, we can always be belligerent and ignore that and misuse our independence even more. But Krishna's giving facility for those, even after they come out of the womb, to remember him and to take to Krishna consciousness. So it's not that we don't have opportunity, but there's a way in which, because of our accumulation of karma, which we've created for ourselves, we're entangled. And Krishna gives the tools to come out of that entanglement, so we have to voluntarily take them.
And just one more question. It was mentioned about those who take birth in Bharatvarsh should make their lives, and mentions India, should make their lives perfect and then work for the welfare of everyone. Prabhupada explains Bharatvarsh as India, like in that verse, but other times he indicates Bharatvarsh as the whole earth. So those times when Bharatvarsh is referred to as just India, then what Vash is the rest of the planet? If India is just Bharatvarsh, then it's because it said Jambudvipa is broken up into 9 Vashas. So then what's the rest of the earth? What is that?
It is Bharatvarsha, but this continent is special because Krishna appeared here so many times. And regarding the opportunity, we've seen that Prabhupada started the Krishna consciousness movement outside India because nobody was interested at the time. In fact, I remember when we first joined the Krishna consciousness movement, we couldn't get any Indians to join. It was really funny, actually. They weren't interested. There were only one or two bona fide, you know, Indians who were actually in the Krishna consciousness movement helping to spread it around the world. Of course, now we see how powerful being born in Bharatvarsha is, because practically Krishna consciousness movement wouldn't be going on in most parts of the world if it weren't for devotees born in India. They're maintaining so much of it. But in any case, it is distinguished as Bharatvarsha, the continent, and also the whole planet is also called that. But specifically refers to, in that purport, India as Bharatvarsha, because it has a special context. But historically, apparently the whole planet is under one flag at one time.
Just to add to that, what's the word Bharata is actually actually be related to the word birth. It's found in time, it's found. The name Bertha is also kind of a middle cognate to Pagatan Earth. It's found in a lot of ancient Indo-European languages.
Thank you. It's helpful. Yes, Vishakha Leela. Well, Agyata Sukriti just happens. In other words, it's apparently random. It's hard to tell who's going to be touched by a devotee or by hearing the holy name and so forth. Deaf people can feel sound vibration, and they can even, respond to music and so forth. They can feel the vibration. So they also get the benefit of the Hare Krishna mantra. What to speak of, deaf people can dance and do all kinds of things in response to the vibrational effect of music. So same thing for the Hare Krishna mantra. Malini? Oh, sorry, next.
I was appreciating all the abundance in the town, especially in the Manipur area. And you read from Chaitanya Charitamrita that if there is Krishna consciousness, there will be abundance of everything. And practically seeing in this area, there's abundance of banana trees, there's abundance of mango, vegetables, fruits, everything. And I was thinking the effect of Chaitanya's mercy is that everything grows, whatever you put in this land. And Sundar Prabhu was saying that you just have to put something here, it will grow. So, and it was very nice to see that effect about the Krishna consciousness.
Mayapur is so special like that. It's so lush here, so opulent. Yeah, such a beautiful dham. Well, one way is when you chant japa to very consciously put this conundrum before Krishna, before the holy name, and say that I don't have the power to give up this anarta of being independent, and I don't know how to deal with it, but I'm giving you permission to rectify it. So I don't have the strength, but I'll leave the door unlocked. You can come in and take it. Krishna is known as a thief. In fact, there was a story about two policemen in Delhi who were walking around the neighborhood and saying that it's interesting that we're going around here and warding off thieves, but Krishna, who is our Ishta Dev, is known as a thief. He used to go from house to house and steal butter and so forth. And he said, but, and the other one replied, but actually that's lucky because around our hearts we keep locked doors and high walls because we want to keep our anartas. That's the problem. I have it, I know it's there, and I don't expose it. I lock it up because I say that I don't, if I open it, if I open the door, then I'll lose it. So I keep it hidden in the dark shadows, so nobody can see it. And then I have to live a double life. Then I have to pretend that I'm actually okay. But there's a way in which I'm hiding something. That's a very painful kind of existence, that I can't be sincere. Sincere comes from this word that refers to marble. When marble was first mined, the most valuable of the marble had no lines or cracks in it. So some unscrupulous merchants used to fill those cracks with wax so they could get a higher price for the marble. And then later on, the wax would melt and the cracks would show. And so sincere means without wax. You don't try to hide away your anartas. And this is a technique for removing anartas, to pray to Krishna that I have the anarta, admit it. Confessional is very powerful. If you can admit that you have the anarta, then you bring it to awareness. As long as I don't admit it, that I have it, then I'm keeping it in the dark shadows. But if you take it out and at least show Krishna and say, if you can't admit it to anybody else because you think that you'll lose face and say, oh, they'll think now I'm not a pure devotee, so I can't say this thing. Because if I admit that I have an anarta, then, you know, what will become of me and my reputation and so forth. But if you can admit it to Krishna and say, I have these anartas, I have these attachments I'm holding on to, and I'm so weak I can't remove them, but you're a thief, please come steal them. You're a killer of demons. You come and kill all these horrid demons that come into Vraj. And so the doubts and the anartas are like demons, and Krishna can kill them. So pray to the holy name. Put them out there. Admit it. Say, I have this, and Krishna, please come and take them. And then open the door, or at least leave it unlocked. And then chant and say, Krishna, go in. I can't do it, but please go in and do it and make some arrangement. That's a very bold move, actually. That's called spiritual gambling. That please remove, do whatever you like, Krishna. You make that. Most people, they're just like, well, so do it like this. But if you say, do as you wish, do whatever you think is best for me, because after all, who knows better, Krishna or me? And if you admit that Krishna has a better perspective on what's good for me, and you trust him, this develops a relationship in chanting, that you're saying, Krishna, I trust you, that you'll actually take away the right things, and you'll remove all the obstacles. Hari means one who takes away your misery, and it's miserable to hold on to all these things. So you can try that. Okay. And now we're going to have our kirtan. Right? Oh, yes.
I just want to add to that taking shelter of Diksha, Siksha, Guru, senior devotee, a husband, someone who you can turn to for advice or guidance also helps to get rid of that.
Yeah, that's a really good point. It's important to have very close friends who are advanced in Krishna consciousness. And if you can process whatever kinds of obstacles you have, and this kind of friend should be the kind that you're not afraid to expose your faults to. It's a rare kind of friend. But this guhyamakyati prichyati means, by Rupa Goswami, you're able to confidentially reveal your mind. and hear the other person reveal their mind, highly beneficial. And if you have that kind of relationship with your guru or with a friend in Krishna consciousness who's advanced, then that also helps. Because there may take regular trips to, you know, talking to someone and processing over time. And at the same time, Krishna says, Srinvatam swakata Krishna punya shravana kirtana hridyan taksto hibadrani vidunoti suritsatam. Vidunoti has a couple of meanings. One is that he filters out the kinds of impurities that are there within the heart, and he also shakes them off, just like a rug. If you take the rug out and you snap it, and all the dirt and the dust goes flying out of it. So vidunoti also means to shake off. So, and Krishna helps us in that way. Yeah. Was there another point? Then we're going to have our... Yeah. Hare Krishna. Why do the attachments seem much stronger than the mercy we're getting? Well, once a devotee asked Prabhupada, he said, "But Prabhupada, Maya is so strong." And Prabhupada said, "Maya is not so strong, you're so weak." He said that when you take care of your health by keeping a good diet and you have exercise and enough rest and a good outlook on life, then you don't fall sick. Your body naturally has a way of fending off disease and so forth. And if we, the more we rigidly follow the process, the more we'll be able to experience the mercy. Evam prasanna manaso, or I should say, tada rajas tamo bhava kama lobadayas jaye cheta iter anavidam stitam satve prasidati. Actually, it's lack of application that causes most problems, or that causes problems in anartas to persist. And devotional service should be unmotivated and uninterrupted in order to completely satisfy the self. So by practice, knowledge and practice, we can come to the stage of steadiness, and the anartas will feel the mercy. There's 2 inches missing in the rope that Mother Yashoda tries to tie around the waist of Damodar. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says 1 inch is Krishna's mercy and the other inch is the perspiration of Mother Yashoda in trying to tie him up. So both things should be there. But one other comment before, I'm sorry, because this is just coming, just it's a news flash, it just came in, that we may not see what the mercy is at first. In other words, I may not be in a position to interpret what mercy is until after it's had its effect on me. In other words, someone may feel a great difficulty in a certain way and struggle and may think, well, Krishna's not giving me his mercy. Because after all, if I was really being given mercy, I'd have, you know, he'd give me that house I always wanted, or, you know, I wouldn't have crashed my car and so forth. But it's hard for us, from our perspective, to interpret how Krishna is administering his mercy. So much of it is how we see how the mercy is coming in, or how we don't see it. Just wanted to make that point. Yasyahamana grinnami harisheta dhanam shanai. Krishna says, when I show my ultimate mercy, I take away everything and make the devotee feel completely destitute. I mean, not in all cases, but this is one way that Krishna reveals to the devotee that actually what you wanted all the time was me. And there's a joy that comes up in the heart when you realize it's all gone. I remember the story of Sanatan Goswami when he's leaving his post as practically he was like a king almost. And when he ran away to meet Lord Chaitanya, and he had just left the hilly country and left behind his last piece of gold. He had nothing left. He felt this happiness overcome him. So, did you have a follow-up? It's due to past habit. Because from a time immemorial, I've been involved with Maya and the world of the senses. And one has to transfer that attraction. Yuvatinam yata yuni yunam tau yuvam cha yuvatau yata. Mano biramate tadvan mano me ramatam twayi. Rupa Goswami says, just as young boys are attracted to young girls and young girls are attracted to young boys, let my attraction be the same spontaneous attraction to you. And the subject of Rupa Goswami's Padyavali includes many verses that talk about the same kinds of attraction that we have in the material world. For instance, he says that a lover is waiting for a love letter in the mail. And he can't, every day he's going out and looking to see, did it come, did it come? And then when he gets it, his hands are shaking to read the, you know, what's she going to say? And then opens it up, and there's this emotional response. So he said, let me have that same emotion for reading Srimad Bhagavatam. Why don't my hands shake while I'm reading Srimad Bhagavatam? But that transfer is there, and that's what happens in Krishna consciousness. We can see that the same kinds of attachments and intensity of emotion that we have for the illusory forms of this material world are there in reality and permanently in our relationship with Krishna and all those things related to Krishna. And I think a lot of it has to do with maintaining our Krishna consciousness throughout our lifetime and seeing how the world changes around us. I had an experience when both of my parents passed away, and I saw that they were really a mask for Krishna. I mean, whatever sustenance I got and support I got for them, they were actually just a front for Krishna. He's the one always maintaining me. Because as soon as they left, I saw, well, life goes on. And I'm still being sustained. And Prabhupada says in the Bhagavad Gita that if you take the love of a mother and you multiply it a million times, then you can start to understand what is the kind of feeling Krishna has for us. And we do have to hear about Krishna, because Krishna is utterly charming and merciful, and his pastimes are sweet. And in the beginning, it doesn't appeal to the mind. The mind wants something of lower quality, much lower quality. But the quality of the sound itself is so much superior that as we continue to hear about it, our attention will transfer to that vibration, because it's divyam, it's divine. And we will get ruchi. So you go through the process and eliminate the anartas and come to the stage of steadiness, nishta, and then attain ruchi, and then asakti, and then bhava. And just keep on with the process. That's why Rupa Goswami says that you have to be perseverant in practice, determined, because there will be obstacles. Gorpre Manande Haribo. Omkar, would you sing for us? Oh, Shraddha Devi Dasi is going to make announcements. Hare Krishna.
Haribo. I wanted to ask you, the devotees, I heard that during the lunch hour, yes, concerning the lunch hour, I heard that during the lunch hour, the volume of the interaction is very loud, so I've heard that request to, especially with the chairs, they're not so heavy. Instead of dragging them, picking them up is not very heavy. So if we just be a little conscious of the noise level so that be nice. And also, if anyone's serving prasadam, they should be ready to get their hands dirty and not have to strike the spoon against the bucket. You can just use your hands. That way it's peaceful and there's no clanking. Yeah.
Om Agyana Tinurandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshuram Nivetangena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Namaha Vishnu Padaya Krishna Krishtaya Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tinami Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Desha Tharine Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaura Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare
Hare
Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare,
Hare.
Krishna, Krishna, Hare, Hare, Hare.
Hare Krishna. Bhajanitai Gaura Pramanande Hare. Bhajanitai Gaura Pramanande Hare. Bhajanitai Gaura Pramanande Hare.
Like an airplane taking off at the airport, it goes down the runway faster, and then lifts off and above the modes of material nature into the level of Brahma. So we'll keep our momentum going through this lifetime where we go hearing, chanting, and then Krishna will lift us up beyond this material atmosphere, back to home, back to Godhead, in the most rarefied of all places in the Goloka Vrindavan Dham, which is actually not different from where we are right now. It's just a matter of realization separating. Pancha kalpa-durva-sya kripa-sundhavya-cha patitanam pavanegyo vishnadegyo namo-namah. Snacks for everybody. Hare Krishna.